Hey, it's time to look through the window of baseball, and it's brought to us by Truett & White and Marvin Windows. Of course, Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. We bring in our good friend, Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Congratulations, Bruce. Come on, Marty. We've got to do first things first. Bruce called a Cal Bear victory on the road in Chicago yesterday, and sure enough, lo and behold, they got one. Congratulations.
I think that'll be my last prediction. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
Boy, very good. Yeah, that's right. Nice. You did call that.
Yeah, their last win against a non-FCS school was against Washington State back in 2012, so that was really good.
Yeah, it's just so great to have Dykes and the upperclassmen. They finally have something to feel good about. It'll be a great week of practice, and who knows where it goes from here, but that was really fine.
Yeah, definitely. And things are cooking out here, right, Marty? Bruce, you saw what Peavy did last night. What was more fun for you, the Bumgarner night or the Peavy night?
Oh, geez. I mean, they're dead even for me. I mean, but Bumgarner just showed that, if it's going to come down to one game and you need one pitcher, this guy is such a perfect choice for that. Plus he might hit a two-run bomb for you. But the PB start was great. I was talking to Marty yesterday. I was just saying how nice it would be to have him get a really clean, sort of vintage start without any real drama. And sure enough, he came up with that. The one thing I really enjoyed about last night, there was a play where Sandoval scored about 6 feet ahead of Pence. They came roaring down the line together, and there's a shot of them in the dugout just sort of laughing and smiling together. And I was just thinking, it's so great to have winners. Sandoval's a guy who hit three homers in a World Series game. Pence is a guy who single-handedly changed the Giants' mood when they're down 0-2 to the Reds. And, that kind of stuff is really going to matter here. And we're finally in September, and how great is that?
Well, it's great. And, Bruce, today is a big day in baseball because today's the last day you can make moves and actually get somebody within your organization and get them in the playoff roster. So the A's pick up Adam Dunn today. And then the Brewers just got Jonathan Broxton for their bullpen. So I expect maybe a couple more moves today.
Yeah, the Dodgers are looking at trying to do something because today's the last day to get somebody where he's eligible for the postseason. I think Ryu is going to pitch today coming off the DL. That's a huge development for them, how that works out. But they kind of feel like they need to get one more guy, so that'll be interesting. The Adam Dunn move, really interesting for the A's. It's a little bit desperate. They don't really need a left-handed hitter. I think it's a little bit of an insult to the left-handed hitters they have in their lineup, although they have been producing and being, telling them this is, it's time to get moving here. And, it's a bit of an admission on the Cespedes trade. But, again, being, just trying to do anything he can to win this thing.
Hey, Bruce Jenkins with us. I love Twitter. There's always something on it. Scott Miller tweeted this morning. I don't know if you follow him, Bruce, but
yeah.
A-Rod has purchased Meryl Streep's home in Hollywood for $4.8 million. Isn't he? I mean, he's a magnet for stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think he purchased Judy Davis's home in Australia and, Maggie Smith's in London. I think he's a triple header for him.
Well, instead of Sophie's choice, it's Alex's choice, right? I mean, come on now.
Do we see him again, Bruce? Do you see him again?
I hope not. Good God, no. In any context, I don't want to see him on the street. I mean, everything he does is ludicrous and showy and self-centered and inappropriate and wrong. It's definitely not in the bigs. God, no. He was done when he left.
Is he the biggest villain in baseball?
No, he's not a villain. He's just an idiot.
Well, I mean, but you can. I mean, if you pay somebody to paint you as a minotaur or whatever he did, he's got multiple paintings of himself as a great Greek mythological creature. That's a little out there, right? That's villain status, I'd say.
I'm going with idiot. The villains are the guys who really tarnish the game. I don't think he really did that, but the vintage idiot, really.
Okay. Yeah, village and vintage.
Both.
I got into the Padres this morning and the way they're playing. They knocked off the Dodgers last night, and I started thinking about what's going on in this September, which is going to be a lot of fun, and I started thinking about Arizona. And you know who runs Arizona? Tony La Russa.
That's right.
He doesn't like the Giants. He will have a hand in something over these games with Arizona and the Giants. So, it actually adds a little more to the Arizona-Giant rivalry or the gestalt of those games.
Yeah, and anytime you can throw gestalt into a conversation, I think you're ahead
of the game,
Marty. I love that.
When I'm in trouble, I go to gestalt.
Wasn't he a lefty reliever back in the 40s? Pete Gestalt.
I think I think he was my therapist at one point.
Gestalt a fish, right, Marty?
Very good. Rosh Hashanah is coming up. Very good, Pat.
the six games against Arizona are really going to be interesting. I mean, Kirk Gibson and Kevin Towers are hanging on by a thread. You know, if they were to do well there, who knows how that – it may be too late for them in La Russa's eyes. But absolutely, I mean, they've had just an embarrassing season to start to finish. And that's the kind of team you don't want to face. I mean, everybody talks about, look at the schedule. Oh, that looks easy. That's going to be easy. Well, it's never correct. The schedule analysis is never right. How about the Dodgers in San Diego right now? And it could very well prove to be, the Giants against Arizona or against the A's in Houston. You just can't – you don't demean big league teams like that.
No, you don't, especially this time of year because they get a kick out of beating you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, how do you like the Cubs thing? Every time they bring up a guy, he hits like three homers in two games.
Yeah. I tell you, I'm really excited for Addison Russell, the kid who left the A's in the Samardzija trade. Great shortstop. They got a lot of them, but they kind of think he's probably going to be the one who plays short for them and they'll move people around. But they got Javier Baez, who's got the most wicked swing since Gary Sheffield, just jacking the ball out of the park. They bring up the Cuban guy, Jorge Soler. He's just homering and doubling and looks like a total specimen. They've got Chris Bryant, who's either leading or second in the minor leagues in homers. Just a great prospect. Already have Anthony Rizzo. And they got guys like Castro, and there's so much young talent there. They still don't have any pitching, but I tell you, when these guys all get together in the lineup, it's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, their pitching, it's sort of under the radar, but Wada has been good, Arrieta has been good, and they have this Hendricks. They've got a few right now. Now, Wood goes today and against the Cardinals and John Lackey. We'll see. But, Bruce, you're good on this. The Cub-Cardinal rivalry, a lot of people don't realize what goes on. This is a big deal back in the Midwest.
Oh, it's huge. That's the biggest rivalry for both teams, by far. I mean, it goes back just a million years. It goes back to Gabby Hartnett and Rogers Hornsby, for God's sake. And farther back than that, but it means a lot. It's all, they've had some big scrapes through the years, and it's just one of those things that's embedded in the fans of both cities, and it's always a pretty vibrant scene.
Yeah, well, you worked in two names, Rogers Hornsby and Gabby Hartnett. That was very good, Bruce. I worked in Charlie Root this morning, and Hack Wilson. I'm talking about Wrigley Field. So we've covered a lot of territory today.
And how about that Napoleon Lajoie? Boy, what a hitter he was. I'll never forget hanging out with him after the games.
Well, you talk Gestalt with him, it was something else.
Hey,
I will tell you that.
You should have heard Marty yesterday. I asked him, has there ever been a pitcher throw a no-hitter and then get banished to the bullpen in the same season? And he brought up a guy by the name of Fire Trucks. Is that right, Marty?
Virgil Trucks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, in fact, even someone confirmed that later on in the day. Someone actually came up to me.
Okay.
But
Have you had Virgil Trucks among your archive of interviews?
Absolutely.
I
love Virgil Trucks. He's great. He wrote a great biography, really. Autobiography, I guess. But I had him when Verlander pitched a second no-hitter for the Tigers. He became the first Tiger to do it. Since Virgil Trucks, I called him up, and he was living in Alabama. I had him on the show.
Unbelievable.
Beautiful.
That was great.
That's so
boy,
good.
Bringing the Tigers up here, Bruce, next weekend, of course, you and I will be on. And we'll be on tomorrow, by the way, at 11 o'clock again. But next weekend, Giants go into Tiger Stadium, Comerica Park, whatever they call it. Well, this is going to be some week of baseball for the Giants.
Just terrific. I was such a fan of the old Tiger Stadium. Whenever I went there, it was definitely the best park I'd ever been into. Of course, you feel that way about Wrigley and Fenway as you go along. But the Comerica Park is terrific. I've been able to go there with the A's and, of course, the Giants in the World Series. And the Tigers still remember... they still got a few guys who endured the embarrassment of that for them, the 2012 World Series. So that'll be terrific. I mean, the Tigers are reeling a little bit. I mean, Scherzer got lit up. Sanchez is hurt now. Verlander hasn't been the same. So I don't know if you ever want to call him vulnerable, but this is not a bad time for the Giants to be getting him.
Any surprise that in terms of American League races that Baltimore has an 8-game lead in the East? I mean, Machado goes down, and they're kind of extending that lead. To me, I know Baltimore was pretty good last year, but I just didn't see that coming. Did you, Bruce?
Oh, absolutely not. Eight games in the East? I mean, that, Of all the teams, you know, maybe you figure the Yanks get lucky or the Red Sox, you know, keep it going from last year. I think I picked Toronto. No, I don't know if I picked Toronto. I picked Tampa Bay. Yeah. I picked Tampa Bay to win the East, which is not the greatest call you ever heard. But, yeah, you know, that's they've got a really nice thing going. Buck Showalter, you know, knows what he's doing. They lose Machado. They don't seem to miss a beat. Chris Davis is hitting those nice casual home runs, and Adam Jones, and a lot of energy, a lot of good pitching, and they could be a team that the A's or the Angels or somebody is going to have to deal with in the postseason.
You know, every day, every weekend, we do the league leaders for Ignite. You know, the cloud
sure.
is not enough. You
not
know
enough.
But, Bruce, top three in the National League, Morneau 311, Josh Harrison, who's T-Bone Shelby, John Shelby's nephew,
right. And
Ben Revere, 307. Those are the top three in the National We're talking National League here.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I've got to put it down. I got Buster winning the batting title. Okay?
Why not?
Yeah, he's gonna storm back and win it at about 318. I saw an article today where, you know, 280 is the new 300 and stuff like that, and I don't see this being the case for the rest of time. I mean, baseball always takes care of itself in that way. There's so many factors go into it. Just real quick, one factor I'd like to see change. I'd like to see a lot more just aggressive hitting. So if you get a strike, swing at it. First pitch swinging. The great ones do that. And there's so much emphasis now on guys, you know, work the count. Well, great, it's 1-2. How do you like the count now? Or let's work the count. Pick, you know, let's get the pitcher's pitch count up and get to the bullpen. Oh, that's great. You got four guys throwing 98. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be aggressive in there. And I think that's going to change. I think to have a team-wide philosophy like the Red Sox, we're going to work the count, is ridiculous. You know, you watch a lot of the great hitters, man, that first good pitch they see, they jack it. And I'd like to see that happen a little bit more. And I think if that happens, plus players adjusting to the shifts, which are so prevalent, you'll see the averages go up a little bit.
Yeah, use the whole field. I think that's the concept.
Exactly.
Boy, have a great day. Bumgarner today, Bruce. Kershaw, Bumgarner, maybe the two best in the league. So
yeah. He's
got a shot to have a tremendous August. And then he goes against Kyle Loesch, who's steady. So here they go, Brewers and Giants. It's a good Sunday.
Good Sunday. Got to expect a win today, and if that's the case, they'll be flying high.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for coming on today, and, of course, tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Right.
Thanks,
on, Bruce.
All right. Enjoy your gestalt as well as your pepper.
You're making me hungry for gestalt of fish.
Oof.
All right. All right. More. This is why we love the show
live.
Yeah,
it's fun.
All right. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.